Hello, Seals. This is the radio show preceding the Fish Fry Tournament. How you doing tonight? We have a special show featuring four of the greatest poker players in the world. Brokneck, Glitch, Kissapig, and special guest, Ball / Frazzle Dazzle. Brokneck, what are you drinking tonight?
Captain Morgan and Ginger. Gotta go up with
Ginger.
Hello.
How about you, Kissapig?
No, just a second.
How about you?
I'm having iced tea. I'm just having iced tea.
Okay, what are you smoking tonight?
I'm smoking my pipe. I might imbibe in a little bit of weed later on, but right now I'm just smoking my pipe.
I'm having some alcoholic root beer because the liquor store was closed.
Is that my dad's root beer?
Yes.
I feel so underprepared. I didn't realize that this was a BYOB radio show.
That's all right.
Were you expecting us to provide it for you?
Yeah, I just didn't realize, yeah.
Nah, quite all right. Are you drinking anything?
I'm too embarrassed to say it. You guys got like actual alcoholic drinks, and here I am just sipping on tea, so.
That's me, too. I'm sipping on iced tea. In fact, mine's decaf.
All right, okay, so now I don't feel so bad, then.
Decaf Lipton iced tea with honey, and I make a big old gallon jar of it every day. Drink it all day long.
So, Bali Ball, thank you for coming on.
Yes.
You are a longtime SEAL, formerly known as Razzle Dazzle.
Yes, that's correct.
How did you find SWC?
So my poker story is probably, you know, long and like, it's a long journey, whatever. But I mean, basically, it starts off as the same way as I assume that most other people do, which is that after Black Friday, I stopped playing poker. And then like a couple of years later, I just kind of wanted to gamble. So I went on 2+2 to try to figure out which of the then operating sites were least likely to rob me. And so I go on these forums and I see cash out times 2 months, 3 months, 2 months, 3 months. Bounce checks, bounce checks, bounce checks. Yeah. And then I'm sort of like debating. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not planning on cashing out anyways. But then I actually accidentally sort of happened to run into a player who I don't think is on Seals any longer, but he was known as Olsen TV. And he was a guy that he would come on all the time, like for like 3 straight months and like tell everyone that a rabid like pack of dogs was chasing him down or something.
Right.
But either case, so he's like, hey, there's like this new website, Seals with Clubs. It works on Bitcoin. And I had no idea what Bitcoin was. I just sort of thought that maybe it's something that's like analogous to like Zynga Poker or something like that, like some sort of play money, but people actually pay real cash for that.
Right.
But regardless, so he sent me like a bunch of chips and I had no idea what those chips were worth. I had no idea how to like transfer it to US dollars or, you know, buy chips with dollars, whatever. But I signed on and I got on the web client and I was like, you know, it's pretty fast, pretty smooth, and just played for a little bit. And I guess that's how I was introduced to Bitcoin, and I sort of really, like, within, like, I would say, like, a week, I really fell in love with it. Like, I could just cash out instantly, deposit instantly. Like, all the transactions were really transparent, and I loved it, yeah.
That's cool, yeah, man.
That's pretty much how I did it.
You remember?
Huh?
What year was this?
This was
2013, I think, right?
Maybe 2014. It was like right after when Bitcoin hit like $1,000 or whatever. Like, okay. I came in when it was on the way down, going towards like 700. That's when I came in.
So yeah, it would have been.
I think my actually the first like maybe like 3 times that I tried to buy like chips on Seals, I got like scammed.
I remember that too. Because I remember you being a new user and having terrible luck, and yeah, that's I'm glad that people don't trade chips in chat as much anymore, because it used to be a whole crap show.
Right. Yeah, and then eventually I got set up with like a Coinbase account, like Circle accounts and all of that. And then I would say like for like the past like maybe like a year or so, I actually transitioned into focusing more on like the Bitcoin side of things. Like I tried like trading Bitcoin, starting like an exchange, all of that. All of which failed, but yeah, I came for the poker, I stayed for the currency, I guess.
Yeah. That's basically kinda what I did. How about live play? Do you play live at all?
Not really. Like a few home games here and there. Like I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but like I'm like always like really popular in these live games. Like they always invite me to come and play because I juice the action.
Yeah.
But I haven't really played like I would like never really in a casino setting except for like, you know, when I went to actually with a bunch of friends to like actually just go hang out or go clubbing, whatever. And then like at 2 a.m. I'd be like super drunk. I'd come into the tables and like try to make out what cards I had. Like that's pretty much the extent of my life play experience.
So what's your favorite game now?
Oh, Big O. Like no questions about it. If there was like a more degenerate game, I assume a more degenerate game eventually will come into trend like in a few years. I'll be on that then. I was actually suggesting to NeoRab, like, I think, like, a couple of days ago that we should come up with a variant of, like, PLO where there's, like, 5 suits or 6 suits and just go nuts with the action.
I thought extensively about 5 and 6 suit decks, and there's some really interesting quandaries with them. They make the hand rankings change a lot in non-intuitive ways. What's more interesting to me, I think, is strip deck poker.
Which would that?
I mean, I'm just gonna, I mean, my thought on that is probably not correct. I'm associating with strip poker, so I don't think that's what you meant.
No, a strip deck means less than 52 cards. Like, for example, 6+ hold'em is hold'em, but deuces through fives are missing from the deck.
Oh, I see.
It changes the ranks of a few hands when you do that too, because it makes full houses easier than flushes and straights and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be tough to implement then.
Well, the only thing, it's tough to remember, and it's a tough game.
Yeah,
to learn,
yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
not implement. Yeah, I thought the same thing. That I thought that meant that the queen card had no clothes on.
No, it's called dirty poker.
Play any of the 12 games? You do any of the 12 games?
No. I mean, I like to kind of learn and focus on one game at a time. And some of the games that they play in the 12 games, I just don't find that appealing or interesting. Especially, I believe the 12 games have like some of the limit games in them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like anything where it's like, I don't know.
You don't like FL stuff. But
yeah.
What about I don't know. I think Badoosie and Badesi are a lot of fun. Even if you don't find Deuce to Seven Triple Draw or Badoogie particularly fun on its own, those combined, I think they're an excellent game. And I have it. I mean, we have them as pot limit, and not just as fixed limit.
I've never tried Badoosie, Badoogie, so I can't speak on that. I do like stud though, but there's just not enough stud action, I guess, over here. Yeah. So,
well, stud's a limit game.
The 7-card high low is tough.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like the limit games, like stud is like the only one that I kind of find interesting.
Gotcha. Well, I'm gonna have to make a clinic or a tutorial video on these split pot games or something, because I think they're the shit. I think they're
split pot. I cannot stand split pot games. I keep getting quartered in those games, and I just feel bad. Like. Not like I'm completely getting my money in bad, but then it's like you're mostly getting in my money. I'm mostly getting my money in bad.
In Badoosie, though, it's really hard to get quartered. So you don't have to worry about that. You'll just be losing the whole pot.
Yeah. See, I like that. That's like definitive. Like, I know, okay, fine, I lost that hand. Like, getting quartered and like splitting pots and stuff, I'm like, did I lose that hand? Did I win that hand? Like, it's just too hard to figure out.
We have
interesting perspective.
Yeah, 18 minutes till the show starts. Just wanted to remind everybody that I've got a last longer going. tin chip lasts longer for the fish fry. If you want in, send it broke neck.
Ah, yes.
Yep. All five of us have bounties, too.
Play the fish fry tournament tonight.
At least we got a good registration so far. We're up to 36 players.
I think... Okay, so I have a five-chip bounty. Ball has a five-chip bounty. Broke Neck has a five-chip bounty. And they all come with lookups.
Ah, yes. They're not five-chip bounties, are they? They're two-chip bounties, or whatever. Well,
the three of us are paying our own.
Gotcha. It's of course, do not forget about the Sears Clubhouse March Player of the Month leaderboard.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like topping it out is IF'd Your Mom, Boss Hog, Broke Neck, High Times, and One Love. But still, early on in the month, got another 22 days in which to get onto this leaderboard. If you make it into the top 50, you will be put into a drawing to win a prize.
I won one last week, last month.
A large chunk of the leaderboard will get prizes, so it's not like one of those shot in the bucket type things. It's a decent shot.
Just well, what do you think 50. About what do you think about tournaments? I rarely see you in them.
Yeah, I just don't have the patience for it.
Okay.
You used to
like I used to, yeah. I think it's when I first like that's because I started that was like when I first started playing poker again after like a couple of years. So like the whole tournament thing was still kind of like interesting and like novel to me. Not novel, but like it was still refreshing to just be able to play poker so I could sit down for like a couple of hours and like, you know, fold hands and like wait for good spots. But I just can't do that anymore. It's just, I like to be involved in the action like too much. And that's just, I guess, not the tournament play.
Have you ever thought about emailing support and asking them why you don't have a fold button preflop in Big O?
No, I really actually kind of like my customized version of the client. It comes with obviously no fold button, but instead of the fold button, it's replaced with a win pot button on the river with one or two outs. So I find that button a lot more useful than the fold button.
Nice. And what seal here at SWC keeps you up at night?
Oh, it's obviously Necky. Like Necky, like I think for like the past year has really like tormented my poker career. So there's that. I mean, it's okay. Like we all make mistakes in life and you know, we're still working to try to repair our relationship, but one day I'll get there.
Yeah. One day they'll find us on the Kiss Cam at the Shea Stadium.
Yes.
Is your family supportive of your poker play?
I don't think they really know that I play poker. They just don't care, I guess. I would think that they would be wondering what I'm doing on my computer for like hours at a time, but they just don't care, I guess.
So WSOP is coming up. Would you ever play?
No, I would go to Vegas mostly. From what I hear, and this is like information that I think, I don't know, I read like maybe like a few years ago, so I don't know if this is still applicable, but what I heard was that like during the entire WSOP like events, all the series and stuff, that there's a lot of people that go in there that play the cash games and it's like all fun and like everybody's happy and stuff. So I would take part in that, but probably not like the tournaments themselves. Like I don't know if I could really sit in a chair for that long, for like a day or even like 2 days.
Yeah.
And try to grind to a nice finish. And it's always like, it always upsets me, like, you know, like 45 minutes into a tournament and I just bust out and there's no like, you know, I can't just like rebuy a new stack and just, you know, try to get everything back. It's just sort of like finished. And I just feel bad about having wasted like however much time I had on that tournament.
When you say happy, is that a euphemism for drunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Some tournaments, I mean,
I don't want to call like all the people in Vegas like a bunch of like degenerate drunkards, so like I thought happy would be a nice way to say it.
Dude, depending on which tournament you enter, I mean, you might be in a tournament where you can play for 45 minutes and lose a live tournament and then rebuy, you know. Live tournaments have levels that are hours long.
All right.
And rebuys for several levels and stuff like that. The problem is with rebuys that everybody else is playing a rebuy too.
They're like
playing
like
crazy
right away.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're just be shoving for the first 3 hours. Yeah.
And like, there's a whole lot of other like strategic considerations that go into tournaments that I just have no idea like what they even are. Like, I know what ICM is, and like in terms of like, I know what the
you know what you don't know, you just don't know it.
Yeah, like so I'd just be like an idiot there, and like people would probably call me a fish behind my back.
It's all right,
or maybe in front of me. But
cash games is where all the fun's at anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get bigger stacks in cash. It's a lot easier, a lot more fun, and you can rebuy whenever you want.
I like it. I think I would say, Ball, you're a little aggressive for tournaments. I guess not having a fold button pre-flop would be terrible in tournaments.
You'd probably be pretty good at the sit-and-goes, though.
Yeah, dude, the more adventurous cash players, usually that's their problem in tournaments, is they play too loose because they can't help themselves. It's just their style is to...
Like, I see two suited cards, and I know, like, in my head, like, and I'm talking about in a tournament setting here, like, I know, like, in my head that, like, I'm not really supposed to, like, open under the gun with these, but then, like, my heart says, well, I could flop, like, a flush, and that would be super nice, so then I just kind of call or raise, and most of the times I don't flop a flush, and I end up losing like that.
And chip away at your own stack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big O has ruined my no limit game.
It will.
Cash.
You know, I actually find like the opposite to be true. And
I do too.
Not necessarily.
I think Big O is such a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
That it doesn't throw me off at all for no limit. It feels like something totally different.
Like I learned PLO on Seals. So this was like after I joined Seals, that's when I first learned how to play PLO. And after I initially learned how to play PLO, I felt like at least for a short time that I also had a better read on like a lot of different situations in like no limit cash games. But I mean, the problem was that there's just so much action in PLO, even like four card PLO, that it's hard to transition to no limit where you sort of really have to like be patient and like pick your spots, and you can't just go into every flop with like speculative hands. But in terms of like reading the situation, reading what the other person may or may not have, why they're betting, if they're likely to fold or not, like I felt like PLO actually did improve that aspect of my game.
You got more comfortable with being able to take the chances.
Right. Yeah. There's also that. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you like watch people's lines more often and say, wow, is this really a story he can tell or not?
Right.
As Kissa would put it. And that's what I like about it, especially deep.
Well,
you know that too, deep. You like it deep, don't you?
Yeah, yes. Everybody likes it deep.
I think I'm finding out why I'm so bad.
You're not taking the chances that you should? I've seen you.
Aggression is just... It's not intuitive to me, and I'm learning about it in Big O, and it's not working. It's like it's so unintuitive that I'm doing it all wrong. And
like the rule of thumb that I like to apply is that if you're unsure about a situation, just press the pot button and let it work out.
Yeah,
I thought you were gonna say fold, but no, it's you. So.
Pot or not. It's a website, Pot or Not, featuring Razzle Dazzle.
Are you Pot or Not?
The worst thing is, I see it working for everybody else, and then I try it, and I'm like, it's like, did I press the wrong button?
There's a reason.
It never works.
There's a reason that it works for him, and it doesn't work for any of us. And it's he just has this innate street sensibility about where he's at. That, you know, we're sitting here trying to deductively analyze the shit. He just knows. He feels it in the back of his head where he's at, and he pots it.
There's snaps click into his brain. I've played with him deep. I know.
He gets himself into that zone. I used to be able to do that every once in a while and just play six tables of PLO heads up and not have to pay attention and still win, and I can't do that anymore.
I will have to say, Ball, I liked you better on the old site.
Yeah, I liked you better when you used to drink and you used to be possible to beat. I can't crush you now. I can't penetrate your defenses at all.
those are actually some really fun times. Like, I would just come on and like, but the problem was that it also made me like tilt a lot faster, and like everybody at the table, for sure, if they were gonna sit next to me, they're definitely gonna be up like two or three buy-ins, right? But they were also gonna have to like, you know, like sit there and listen to me curse at them for like 2-3 hours.
No, I couldn't believe that when I heard your voice and pictured who you were. I just had the wrong stereotype in my head from playing with you all these years. I'm like, geez, it was cool. I heard you have some heavyweight, overweight, 55-year-old man with a mullet.
Wait.
Kissa doesn't have a mullet.
Yeah, but Kissa would never play Big O, so.
No. I'll get there. I'm just not there yet.
I love it when Razzle, you tell people, I don't know what I'm doing over here. I'm just smashing keys.
I love when you say that because you're not exactly lying when you say that.
No, it's not at all.
Best way to figure out if the other person has like a really good hand or not is to like press a pot button and see what he does.
I agree for sure. You got
it's
it.
It's not pot or not. It's pot or pot.
He has to time out instead of fold because he doesn't have a fold.
Ball, as Razzle Dazzle, there was a queen 10-10-10 story.
Yes.
Is that it was a long running. I kept hearing about it. You were famous for it. What is can you go into that?
I remember
the story was in this particular game. We had like two characters that were very susceptible to like completely going off the rails, which is the Man 79 and Prag. So we're all sitting like, I think in like 5 buy-in stacks, and I got dealt queen 10-10-10. And there was like a 3-bet, a 4-bet in front of me. And I saw the perfect opportunity to be able to tilt both of them by stacking both of them with queen 10-10-10. Because, I mean, they would just go off the rails.
Right.
So I called, like, I think it was like, I don't know, like a 200 big blind, like pre-flop, like pot already. So I called that. I shipped it on the flop with queen 10-10-10. I think I might have actually, I was drawn to a gut shot. Or maybe I was drawn to a runner gut shot. Either case, they both called, and I think man won the pot. So my plan actually failed. And they all thought that I was really bad because they were like, oh my God, like, how do you play queen 10-10? And like, like 700-800 big blind pot. And they just didn't understand like the next level thinking where I was going to tilt them by stacking them with that and then subsequently take all of their money after they were like on complete monkey tilt.
Cruelty to poker players.
Yeah, and what do you knew that a new term? What'd you call it now? Tilt equity.
Yeah, the same reason why I always have like these rails, right? That like after every hand, right? Like it could be like an 8-chip pot, and they'd always say a nice hand, and like as long as I'm not on too many tables, I always make the point to type out thank you, right? And that's really because over like a four or five hour session, it really starts getting on the other player's nerves.
Oh, yeah. You know, you are pretty good about it. When to speak, how you speak. Like, you can be quiet for so long and then just drop the best one-liner ever. I'll just lose it over here. I love it. You have good timing on your speech.
You are very nice to your rail, too. Even though that's not the... apparently, that's not the reasoning behind your decision.
He's one of the nice SEALs out there. I'd put him up for the Humanitarian Award SEALs.
Yeah. The SEALs, we'll have to do that on the clubhouse.
The Kiss a Pig Humanitarian Award, too, this week.
Yeah. Just because I donate all my chips?
No, all that's right, why so, we give it to Razzle, not to you.
SWC is back up, and we have 3 minutes. Till the tourney starts.
Oh, get in there. Everybody get in there. Everybody.
10 chips to Brokneck for a last longer. We have 7 entrants right now. That's so true. 70 chips to first place. Send them to me.
I'm in there.
Yep. I'm in
free
here.
Money.
Everybody's.
I scrounged up 10 chips. I'm trying not to lose on that big O while we're doing the fish fry.
Oh, yeah.
Ball, who is the best big O player?
So I would say, like, it's tough to really, like, rank them, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's, like, a few that I think are really good. And as much as it pains me to say this, like, obviously, like, Necky is a great PLO player. Bert is a good PLO player. I'm trying to think who else. And Phoenix. I've been trying, I think, for, like, the past week.
Your game has improved big time recently, I can tell. You're sick of depositing.
Yeah, no, because before, like, really, what I used to do was, for, like, a long time, like, I'd sort of come on, I'd deposit, like, 300 chips, 500 chips, whatever, and I just want to kind of gamble for, like, a little bit, and then, like, I didn't really care if I lost or not. But, like, the past, like, a week and a half or so, I kind of took it more seriously. Like, I have, like, a small, like, personal goal that I wanted to run up, like, 10 coins, and then, like, after that, I'll probably just leave for, like, a few months and then come back again, and you know, when it's like all fun and new to me again.
I tried that, but once you achieve your goal, you're gonna want more. You're that type of person. I get it.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I also kind of want to get first on the Krill leaderboard too. So if I can't do it this week, I might try it again next week. So we'll see.
For the week?
Yeah.
You gotta degen like AM Phoenix. That's gonna be a tough route for you, but you can do it, buddy. I have faith in you.
Or how far behind are you now?
I'm like, I think I'm 1500 krill behind him, but that's something that I could possibly catch up to him if he doesn't play for like a day, or like if his internet service goes out, or I don't know.
Have you thought of any ways to do that yourself?
To unplug his internet connection? If I knew where he lived, yeah, I would.
Yeah, you're on the PLO leaderboard for the clubhouse.
You're I did 14th. Not know that there was a PLO leaderboard.
There's a March PLO leaderboard. You're 14th right now.
On the tournament for tournaments.
For tournament PLOs.
I mean, as far as I remember, I only played one PLO tournament, and I'm pretty sure I was, like, the second fastest to bust out of that tournament.
Good job.
Which doesn't really speak that highly of the rest of the PLO players on this tournament scene, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's only 15 PLO players on this site, and I just happened to be ranked 14th on that tournament.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah,
you caught 8th on the PLO for the Monday PLO. Eight out of eight.
Yeah.
the fish fry has started. We are at 47 entrants, 6 tables. Late registration lasts for 3 levels, so until 21 after, you have to late register. And a shout out to our Kriller Whale playing in the fish fry tonight at my table.
Kriller Whale.
Thriller Whale.
Oh, I got glitch on my right. Yikes.
Don't forget, there is a bounty on everyone on the radio show tonight and every member of the clubhouse.
2 chips and a lookup minimum. Yeah. I heard you guys saying that some of you guys were going to put up another 5 or whatever.
Yep.
Ball, not another. Another 5. I put up 5 on it.
3 on it, so it's 5. That's how it would.
Yeah, screw it. I don't care. It's 7 on me.
Oh, 7.
The last longer is closed. We have 10 participants, so 90 chips to first place in the last longer. Good luck, everybody.
What I should have done is that I should have put out a bounty on everyone else in the last longer pool. That way you guys would all lose.
Actually,
in the last longer pool,
it's not too late
to pay off the bounties.
You can do that if you want.
No, I'm kidding. I'll do that next time, probably, actually.
He's got the mathematics down to how to get everybody. He paid for me. He sent me enough chips the other day to get Tinder Plus just so I would leave the Big O tables for an hour.
That was a very easy decision for me.
It was just effectiveness. $10 he's ever spent.
Part of that was my decision to talk about Tinder was partly trying to get Broke Neck off the tables as well, because he beats the shit out of me.
I'll be right back. I'm going to check my Tinder.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been very slow lately. I've had nothing going on, unfortunately.
Tinder ball. Can you give us any good Tinder stories?
Oh, so this past summer, like, it was an awesome summer. Like, I spent all summer, like, I don't know, just hanging out, just drinking, going to parties, Tindering, etc., right? Which is why after, like, the summer kind of finished, I had to take a long, like, time off, like, the boozing and everything else. But I only have bad Tinder stories. The good Tinder stories are pretty much the same for everyone, I guess. So I have bad Tinder stories. One of which was that I got matched with a girl. We went on a couple of dates, whatever. You know, everything was fine until her boyfriend somehow came to know of me, kept messaging me on Facebook. And then he messaged like my brother on Facebook. Somehow he found him, and it got like kind of really like awkward and intense. And the funny part about that, right, the whole situation was that she kept denying that she had a boyfriend, even though her boyfriend was messaging me. So, I mean, I tried to kind of break it off with her, and then like, because I broke it off with her and she got mad that I guess her boyfriend ruined her affair. She tried to break up with the boyfriend, and then the boyfriend started threatening me, telling me that I ruined their relationship. And the whole thing was so messy. It was so messy and ugly. And then I have both of their numbers like blocked on my phone. But even to this day, and this is like 7-8 months later, I still get like private calls from her. I don't know, just asking to like hang out or see me or something like that. It's crazy, actually. So at first I was a little bit like, you know, cause I have no way to like evaluate like what this person's limit is. Like, you know, like I don't know what he's capable of doing. So at first I was like, oh, don't worry. Like I didn't know that she was already taken. Like I'll break it off with her or whatever. Right. And I guess he somehow Googled like, you know, like one of those like sites where they tell people like what their address is or whatever. I guess he Googled my name in one of those sites and he found an address for me. But that address was like a few years old. So once I knew that he didn't have my actual address, I cursed him back out too. I was like, yeah, you know, come try it. I'll be waiting for you outside my house.
Are you a boxing champion or something?
Oh, no, I'd definitely get my ass kicked. But not if he goes to the wrong house.
Nice. Nice. Anybody have any good hands yet? Anything interesting?
Not until this exact moment.
I think we're roughly, what, on a 30-second delay? Someone's been asking me.
20 to 30 seconds. It's however long Twitch delays for.
So, yeah, Megatherion.
I folded a hand that would have turned to flush on the same card that gave someone a boat. El Jefe has managed to stack two people.
Collide at my table. She's a genuine Brit.
Khalid.
Collide. It's Collide. It's pronounced Collide. I found out.
So she's missing a scope.
Or two. Anyone have any questions for Ball out there in Razzle Dazzle? Post them at her table. Post them in the chats.
Good idea.
It's his first time on, last time on. What do you have any poker goals, Paul?
Just 20 like coins. 10 coins. I want to keep it realistic here.
Okay.
I generally just have like short term poker goals, but nothing long term. It's too demanding, like, on me, like mentally, I guess, to grind for like, let's say like months on end or like years on end. I can't do it. I just can't
like keep myself level and like even keeled for that long of a time.
No, it's a grind. Sorry, it's a grind. I've been playing poker for years and can relate. That's one of the reasons I don't like going to Las Vegas for the WSOP. I mean, that is a real grind right there. I can understand. It can consume your life.
You know what's weird about tournaments for me? The passing of time kind of changes. And I just get in the zone. And I used to be like that with online poker, and I've lost it. I've completely lost it. But live play, I'm just different. Can read every situation. It makes me feel good. And I just enjoy it a lot more. I like people, too. It's finding out the stories and stuff.
I don't mind the depersonal aspect of online at all, as long as people occasionally talk to me. When I'm at a table where nobody wants to respond. Like, Universe, that's my kind of guy to be playing poker with. Because he'll always be giving you witty banter no matter what's happening.
Yeah. Poop updates.
Has anyone seen my mojo? I seem to have lost my mojo. My only question for Razzle, since he answered so damn many of them already, don't you ever take your laptop out with you instead of just taking a smoke break? Or is for you is the break really important to like walk away from the poker for a few minutes?
Taking the laptop with me is probably a bit too much. I just find it easier to just sort of get up and walk around for a little bit, smoke, just reevaluate if I made any huge mistakes. Like,
yeah, I always thought that was a thing for you, and I always wanted to ask about it. For me, I just sit at my desk and vape, so I never have to leave the poker game or reflect on it.
Right, and I think it was you that put me onto vaping, like, last year or a few months ago or something. And I tried it actually over the summer, but it was just too much maintenance with the batteries and the cleaning and refilling the fluid.
Yeah. They've gotten a little better, but yeah, I hear you. Maybe you can revisit them in a year or two if you're still smoking and want to quit.
If anybody is looking to quit smoking cigarettes, talk to Glitch. He's the best.
I wouldn't say I'm the best, but I'm one of the vape authorities on this website.
Yeah.
Just from having done so much. Catmaster is another excellent resource.
Oh, really?
A lot of people on here vape, actually. You just got to ask them about it. Just start talking about mods and batteries and stuff in chat and see who gets excited, and you'll know you found a vapor.
Anyway, all right, so.
Little break.
It
is really important, though. There's a lot of times where I kind of wish I'd taken a 5-minute break every hour from my cash games.
I'm envious of it myself. I just know it's, geez, he's going to get a break. He's going to be gone for this long. It kind of like tilts me in a way because no matter win or lose what he does, he's gone for 5 minutes at the table.
Yeah.
That's why I picked up smoking to tilt other players.
Tilt equity. How many smoking dollars do you have?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last.
It's like Galfond dollars. Are they like smoking dollars?
Oh, right. Those are like those, they also had like a 2+2 version of it, like Skolinski bucks or something like that, I think, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Skolinski.
Okay, yeah.
So did you play pre-Black Friday, just cash games still?
Yeah, so pre-Black Friday, like I picked up poker, I think when I was like 20. And I didn't really have any money when I was like 20. Like I was in college and I was just sort of looking for something to do in between classes, whatever. And this one day, like while I was playing like online games, I just happened to find like a poker table, and that's how I learned poker. But when I wanted to play for real money, like I didn't really have any money to like deposit and run up or lose. So I went to like these various forums. I think I got like staked for like 25 cent tournament games or whatever. And this was pre-Black Friday, so those were still relatively easy to beat. And somehow, like, I guess because the players were that bad that I actually was pretty successful in those. And then from there, I went to like 2+2 and I got staked for 10 NL cash games. And I still had like really no idea how to play poker. So like, I think I busted my entire role in like a day. And then I Skyped the guy who was staking me at the time. And he was like, he had like a whole bunch of like players that he was staking and coaching, whatever.
Horses.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, whoops, my bad. And he kind of looked over my hand histories and he was like, you know, sometimes you just can't shove all in pre-flop with King Jack in a cash game, 100 big blinds deep. And I'm like, okay, all right. So he gave me like tips on how to basically play like solid poker, like be a nit more or less. And I was that for like a couple of months until I got the hang of like cash games. And I played six max for a little bit, like 10. I went to like 25 cent ones. And then I went to like 50 cent and then like 50 cent $1 cash games, like full ring games. And then eventually like it was just too slow for me. So then I picked up like heads up cash. And I played heads up cash on Full Tilt for a while. I mostly played just because I wanted to be better than other people. Like that was like to me, poker is still like a game, and like the entire object of a game, like any other game, like whether it's like video games or like chess, checkers, whatever, is that I want to just destroy all my opponents. So for me, it was like I would always want to play like the best player. So I would go on like 2+2, and they had like a section for heads up cash for like the regs or whatever. And they would always post heads up for rolls challenges. So I would always go in there and I would always play heads up for rolls with the regs. And I'd beat like a few of them. And then eventually one of them would just completely empty out my account. And I did this for like a couple of times until like I really got the hang of it. And like I ran it up like a good amount. And then I moved on to like, I think I was at like 1-2 heads up cash. Yeah, and that's when like Black Friday happened.
Wow, interesting. Cool scenario. So we all come into it a different way. There's 3 minutes left in late registration for the fish fry, so we still got time to get in it. 48 players left, 54 entrants so far.
Nice.
Up top, we have El Jefe. El Jefe is on the leaderboard right now with 4,900 chips. I believe all members, all everybody on the radio show tonight still in. What's your stack over there, Ball?
I have 1,190. I'm also on a table with Bert and RU Champ. And RU Champ wanted me to give him a shout-out on this radio show, so here it is.
Yeah, Chumpy. It's time to get Chumpy. That's his favorite song. So.
Chumpy and I briefly discussed moving in together to play at Mohegan Live.
When you guys got to the twin bed, you couldn't do it, or what?
Yeah, I woke up the next morning and I was like, nah.
Not today.
I'm still considering it, though.
So we got the 12 game to fire it up. If anybody wants to jump in that, that's busted or ready to play another tourney. Cash games. I still have 8 people left in this last longer. Kiss, anything interesting on your end? I forgot he was muted. Like always. He's probably talked for the last 20 minutes.
Yep. I did that before, too. I was muted. Talking, asking questions. You said,
I'm sitting on your right.
Oh, whoops.
Quick reminder, support the local SWC Twitch community. We got other streamers. Regularly stream. Doc House is still doing his thing. Yep, I'm Naked is running a bankroll challenge and awarding... Assuming he earns 1 Bitcoin, awarding 1 Bitcoin to one of his viewers on his stream. So check out Doc House in addition to your Wednesday night fish fries.
Yep, Naked, great player. Shows many different games on his stream. I like this bankroll challenge going on.
Excellent player and a total gentleman.
I learned from Yep.
You're great, great. Yeah, him and Ball are up there for a humanitarian award. So we're going to fight it out.
Which kind of seems contrary to the entire spirit of the award.
What, a death match?
Yeah.
The humanitarian death match.
Heads up for rolls. Heads up for rolls in the humanitarian death match. It sounds like you're in, though, huh?
I mean, I have to get my humanitarian award one way or another, even if it's over Yep, I'm Naked's dead role.
Wow, late registration has come to a close with 55 entrants. Thanks, everyone, for partaking in the tournament tonight.
Yeah,
I still have 80 people, or I'm sorry, 8 people left in the last longer.
So good luck, everyone. 15x your money on top for first.
30.33 chips.
Which, 10 players paid. I think I had a bet with Dr. Beerman, too. Is he in? Doesn't look like it.
He's probably asleep.
Yeah, he had to. He had a headache this morning.
So, Henry has a long-standing
completely
bet.
Unrelated to his username.
Henry has a long-standing bet in which he has to finish in the top 50th percentile of the tournament, and he's not even here tonight, so it's going to be really interesting to see if he finishes in the top 50th percentile just by
27
not
or better for Henry.
That's funny. It was part of his thinking into registering, actually. He wanted to he had a date tonight.
I think he's got a huge shot of making it.
Yeah. He figured if he regged and sat out the whole time, he would make it. That's why he did it. I just had to sit out, win a pot at my table. Pay attention.
To the sit outs. Glitches cat. Trying to get on stream always.
He won't shut up when I'm on stream. Meow, meow, meow.
Whatever Box says, the cat meows back to him.
Yeah, I think the cat has a very nice voice and I enjoy hearing it.
It's the only thing that listens to you.
Yep.
Only one that don't talk back.
The only one that don't judge me.
Yeah. So, Razzle, what was the first clue that Box gave off that made you think he was metrosexual?
Well, I heard that he was really well-groomed, and I just thought that was weird because, I mean, A, you're a poker player, like, and for a poker player to be really well-groomed, like, that's like a whole different, like, level of metrosexual, like, you know? Like, you're probably not going outside that often, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's no way he can shower as often as he does being a poker player.
No, I have to take a shower. That's my cigarette break.
Yeah, so, like, that's basically, like, my boundary for being defined as a metro. Like, if you're showering every day, like, come on, like, you're a little bit high maintenance here.
No, I shower like I eat meals. I have to at least 3 a day. And when I say meals, I mean ice cream.
You still have you found a new flavor of Ben and Jerry's, or are you sticking with the same?
No, I have to have something different every night, just like wine. I've gone pistachio, banana monkey, cherry Garcia, fish food, and there was one more. Oh, vanilla toffee the last 3 days. And that's been really fun. Probably not the healthiest thing in the world. I tried my dad's diabetes medicine just because I assume I need it. And that probably helped, probably let me live another 5 days. But ice cream is so good that I don't mind giving up a few years or decades of life. That's how good it is. And there's a Ben and Jerry's sale at my local grocer, and it's just killing me.
There's a Ben and Jerry's sale at my local grocer, and it's killing me.
Literally or figuratively?
Both.
He's exhausted his funds, and he has a freezer and a half full of Cherry Garcia.
Yeah.
And Dolce Delicious. And and whatever.
I love caramel. And caramel and ice cream is just like the most beautiful combination, I would say, in the world.
Well, good luck, everyone, in the fish fry.
Yeah.
I suppose there are 55 players. And good luck, everyone left in the last longer as well. We hope you join us next week.
All right. We'll drop the link of Discord, right?
Yeah, we'll meet you. Anybody that wants to meet us in Discord,
Ahead and join us on Seal's chat room on Discord. We will drop the link. You can be there. You can meet tonight's radio personalities. Meet the guests. Meet all us famous people.
The after party is also BYOB.
Right? Yeah.
Indeed.
Have a great Iced teas are not allowed.
Have a great night. Peace.
Yeah, Team Ventura, I'm sorry. I saw you say something. I'm giving you a shout out now. But I'm glad that you figured out your disconnection problem. I meant to answer you before, and then I think I was muted at that time. Sorry about that, buddy.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Night, bud.
Night. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on.